Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
Have a seat. Thank you, folks. Welcome to The Late Show. I'm your host, Stephen Colbert. And I just want to start off with a happy Valentine's Day to everybody. It's not only in here, but out there. Happy Valentine's to everybody who's watching. It's almost midnight, and you're doing the sexiest thing there is. You're watching TV. Let's set the mood. That's right. That's right. I have a clapper. Pretty daring idea for a show with a live audience. So, how's it going out there? Looks like you're having a great night. Just know I'm rooting for both of you. Wait a second. All three of you. Hey. Don't mind me, I'll just be over here doing my thing. A long monologue. And maybe later, if we're lucky, some Toyota commercials. And I got 400 people in this room with me who just like to watch. And it looks like they're down for anything because they're all wearing masks. And I'm... Okay, that was for the clapper. And I'm happy to help because America could use a little help in the seduction department right now. Because according to new research, Americans are at a 30-year low for sex. And again, no judgment. Whatever doesn't float your boat. I'm not gonna kink shame the jigsaw puzzle, breathe right, strip, lights out by 9 p.m. lifestyle. Because Americans are truly over the hump. In fact, 26% of American adults didn't have sex once over the past year, according to the 2021 General Social Survey. Though the poll does have a margin of error of plus or minus a stranger is calling me with questions about what I do with my junk. The survey found that the number of married couples who had sex less than once a month doubled between 1989 and today, leading researchers to conclude the 1980s really were better for sex. Well, of course they were. We have way better TV now. These days, you gotta stay up to watch 3 episodes of Station 11 and then pass out at midnight. Back then, it was Alf at 8, then it was straight to Bone Town till Carson came on. But for those of you who are looking to spark things up this year in honor of Valentine's Day, Taco Bell has announced it will give out a free Flamin' Hot Cool Ranch Doritos Locos Taco. That's tasty. That's tasty. Ed, that could be the beginning of a great love story. Oh, how did we meet? Well, we locked eyes in line for the same single-stall bathroom. It's... And it has been a Baja blast ever since. Speaking of romance, football. Yesterday, the LA Rams won the men's Super Bowl, defeating the Cincinnati Bengals 23-20. Here's the post-victory interview with the Rams QB. Very excited. Very excited. He's going to Disney. Everybody's still talking about the amazing halftime show starring Dr. Dre and Snoop Dogg. Did you catch it?
Yes.
Fantastic. Two legends of hardcore gangster rap, or as the kids call them today, Martha Stewart's friend and the headphones guy. But as always, the star of the game was the commercials, and this year a ton of them were pushing crypto. There was a floating QR code for Coinbase, Larry David selling something called FTX, and LeBron James advising his younger self to learn more about crypto.com. If he really wants to look out for young LeBron, tell him to avoid Space Jam 2. I know we have a difference of opinion.
LeBron.
We have a difference of opinion.
I mean,
according to experts, Super Bowl Monday is one of the least productive work days. I was going to do a joke on that, but no one came up with one.
That's a good clean joke.
But that queasy feeling might not be from the queso you ate last night. It could be because U.S. officials are warning that Putin could invade Ukraine at any time. That's not the kind of will he or won't he that I look forward to on Valentine's Day. I invade you. I invade you not. I invade you. I invade you not. Feed this flower some sushi. American officials speculated the invasion would begin on Wednesday, and today that motion appeared to be seconded by Ukrainian president and man who just remembered he has a pudding cup in his lunch, Volodymyr Zelensky. In a speech, Zelensky said, "We are told that February 16th will be the day of the attack." What? You were supposed to warn us, Punxsutawney Phil! Why did we listen to Groundhog Predictor? People freaked out to hear the president of Ukraine say that, so one of Zelensky's aides came out and said the comment was sarcastic. Okay, as a semi-professional joke teller, let me just say to President Zelensky, if you have to tell everybody that you were just being sarcastic, you're doing a great job. Really good. Diplomatic efforts are continuing, but so far, no progress has been made. Over the weekend, President Biden spoke with Putin for more than an hour by the phone. I tell you what, Vlad, this whole thing reminds me of the time my Uncle Pippi threatened to take away our hooping sticks for kicking up a rumpus. Pippi's candy shop was across the main drag from the movie house where you could sneak in the side door and see the latest talkie. Hello? Hello? Somebody cut the trunk. Oh, that's a hand. That's a phone. Somebody get him back on the horn. On the call, Biden warned that if Russia invades Ukraine, the U.S. and its allies will respond decisively and impose swift and severe costs. Sounds scary, but according to one Russian official, we don't give a shit about all their sanctions. Of course, I can't say that on CBS, but this guy clearly does not give a According, they don't. Not me. It's not me, John. It's... Turning to the pandemic, the number of cases of Omicron has gone down radically. So, yes. Oh, everyone can start to relax and then tense up again because chicken producers are warning about a fast-spreading bird flu spreading across the U.S. Hey, chicken producers! Maybe next time, pipe up before we spend an entire Sunday face-first in a tray of buffalo wings. A little Punxsutawney Phil. Now, bird flu isn't a big risk to humans, but the last outbreak in 2015 killed nearly 50 million birds, mostly turkeys and chickens. That's two-thirds of a turducken. If this happens again, Americans will have to come up with a new multi-animal treat. I'm gonna say hamburger guinea pigeon. Returning to our first pandemic already in progress, it's been over 2 years now and everyone is sick of it. You want to know how bad things have gotten? Canadians have become impolite.
Eh?
For the last week, Canadian truckers have been blockading the Ambassador Bridge, which links Windsor, Ontario, and Detroit. That means for a week now, people couldn't go between two places they didn't want to go. The blockade. Have you been to Windsor?
Yeah.
You been to Windsor? No, Windsor. The blockade had a devastating economic impact because the bridge is the busiest U.S.-Canada border crossing, carrying 25% of all trade between the two countries. Our Canadian imports were threatened. America was on the brink of a strategic shortage of sexy Ryans. The truckers, who call themselves the Freedom Convoy, are protesting a new Canadian mandate requiring them to be either fully vaccinated when crossing the border or face a 2-week quarantine. And over the weekend, a Canadian judge issued an injunction. The police cleared the bridge, arresting about 30 protesters who now face a maximum penalty of $100,000 and up to a year imprisonment. You hear that, truckers? Your refusal to drive your trucks means you could be forced to spend a year in a metal box peeing into a bottle. Speaking of people who should be in jail, Georgia Congresswoman and Terminator sent back to make sure Americans are too dumb to invent Skynet, Marjorie Taylor Greene. Over this past week, Greene made the TV rounds complaining about the scope of the January 6th investigation. Now, we were off last week, but she said something so dumb that we almost came back to do a special live show just to talk about it. This damn close. That close. I was at the airport. I was getting on the plane. Here's what she said.
They're investigating our staff, looking at their social media. Everything is completely out of control. Not only do we have the D.C. jail, which is the D.C. gulag, but now we have Nancy Pelosi's gazpacho police spying on members of Congress.
Yes. The gazpacho police. Cup of Goebbels soup. Top Rommel, Lenny Beefenstock. All portrayed in the classic movie, Schindler's Bisque. We got a great show for you tonight.
Up next, the hot new trend in making babies.
Calling all benders and non-benders alike. Jump into the epic world of Avatar with your favorite podcast, Avatar: Braving the Elements. Hosted by me, Janet Varney, the voice of Korra on The Legend of Korra.
And me, Dante Bosco, the voice of Zuko on The Last Airbender and General Iroh on The Legend of Korra. Each week, we'll recap and discuss another episode of The Last Airbender.
I don't know if we've ever talked about it, but...
Amazing guests stop by, from creators to cast to super fans, to chat all things Avatarverse.
Are we saying that this is possible in the Avatar universe?
Varney, we gotta spread the word. Now fans can also check out our weekly video pods, too, by subscribing to the official Avatar YouTube channel.
That's a lot of fire, isn't it?
That's right, we're on video this season, everybody! So, whether you're a super fan with encyclopedic knowledge or you're brand new to this incredible world,
it's Fire Nation time, Book of Fire. Let's go! Listen to Avatar Braving the Elements
wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello!
Good to see you, John.
Yana!
I gotta talk about a sensitive subject with everybody in this room, and it's babies. Where do they come from? What do they want with this? Why do we feel compelled to put their teensy feetsies in our mouths? I will eat you alive! Especially the thighs, just so... There are lots of questions parents face when bringing a baby into this world. Number one is always, what branded content should we tie to our child's birth? Well, good news, there's so many choices. For starters, a hospital in West Palm Beach, Florida is offering Lilly Pulitzer-themed birthing suites. Now, if you're not familiar, Lilly Pulitzer is a line of clothing for people who walked into a beach house where the wallpaper hasn't changed since 1966 and said, does that come in a size 8? And Lily pulitzed out all the stops. The suite comes with bright, colorful decor, a complimentary robe, and a diaper bag. According to one woman who gave birth in the Lily suite, it's just so calming and peaceful. It felt like being on a retreat or at a resort. You know, one of those resorts where you scream in a lounge chair for 3 hours and then push a volleyball out of your vagina. But all-inclusive. It's all-inclusive. You don't even have to tip. But maybe you don't want to feel like you're giving birth in the lobby of a country club. Well, in Taiwan, parents can have their babies at the world's only Hello Kitty-themed hospital, where nurses wear Hello Kitty branded uniforms. Cute for the maternity ward, less so for the OR. Now, folks, I believe exploiting the private precious experience that is giving birth for a corporate profit is brilliant, and I want in. That's why we here at the Late Show Comedy Arts and Medical Conglomerate have synergistically merged with some of the best brands available to form St. Adspace Hospital. At St. Adspace, we know birth is a magical time when two consumers come together to make a whole new consumer. And that's why we offer a wide variety of branded birthing suites to match every mom's lifestyle. Now, not every mom has that Lily Pulitzer vibe. So for the alt-punk emo moms on a budget, St. Adspace recommends our Hot Topic birthing suites. We will blare System of a Down while you give birth on sheets in your choice of plaid, black, or slightly different plaid. And dads will savor the memory of cutting the wallet chain. For sporty moms, why not book our lids-themed birthing suite? You'll wear a hat while giving birth into a hat, then enjoy a complimentary celebration meal served in a hat. Lids. It's just hats. Of course, fun-loving parents can reserve our Lux Dave and Buster's birthing suite, where you can give birth on a skee-ball machine. Paints a picture, doesn't it? Get that baby in the top corner pocket. That's enough tickets for, like, a Pokemon keychain. New moms deserve the best, but if you can't afford that, reserve our Budweiser Extreme Maternity Zone. Moms will be attended by an actual Budweiser Clydesdale. Then kick back with a complimentary six-pack of ice-cold Bud Light. Because after having your cervix checked by a doctor with hooves, Mom, this Bud's for you.
Coming up, Jeffrey Wright.
The Hargan women seemed to have it all.
We were blessed. My mom was amazing.
But detectives would soon discover...
Inside the house, there were the bodies of two women.
A story of betrayal you would struggle to believe if it wasn't true.
I am just praying to God. This is a sick joke.
From 48 Hours, this is Blood is Thicker, The Hargan Family Killings. Listen to Blood is Thicker, The Hargan Family Killings, early and ad-free on the 48 Hours Plus subscription on Apple Podcasts.
Ladies and gentlemen, my first guest tonight is an Emmy and Tony Award-winning actor you know from Westworld, No Time to Die, and The French Dispatch. He's just narrated a new docuseries on Abraham Lincoln called Lincoln's Dilemma. Please welcome back to The Late Show, Jeffrey Wright. Hey, it is nice to see you again.
It's great to see you, Stephen.
We haven't seen each other in too long, but before the interesting times we live in called COVID.
Yes.
And obviously, almost like legally, I almost have to ask everyone who got through this, who shows up on this show, what did you do to stay sane that entire time?
I'm not sure I did, Stephen. I'm not sure I did stay sane. But yeah, I guess the last time we saw each other was the before times. Yeah?
Right. Season two or three of Westworld or something like that.
Yeah, you know, I mean, one of the things that kind of kept me grounded was that I had the good fortune to stay busy.
You sure did, man.
Was, you know,
I got these.
Work.
There you go. Oh, just a Bond movie. Just No Time to Die. Yeah. Just French Dispatch. Yeah. Wes Anderson. Oh, just a little part called Commissioner Gordon in the new Batman series. But.
Well, it was that one.
This one right here?
Yeah, we worked on Batman from January 2020 until March 2021. With a break in between, but we worked pretty much through the lockdowns, the teeth of the pandemic, and it was good because it, you know, one, we were fortunate to be working, but it also gave us something to focus on that you know, kept our minds off the uncertainty that was you know, that everyone around the world was experiencing.
Well, obviously, all these superhero movies are often shrouded in a lot of secrecy. Some stuff has, we've seen clips now, we've seen trails now. Is there anything you can tell us about the movie or your role as Commissioner Gordon?
Well, I'm actually Lieutenant Gordon. It's year two in Batman's story, so pre-commissioner days. So I'm Lieutenant, which is exciting because it gives him an opportunity to be in the middle of things. He's still a cop on the street. And so the story really harkens back to the origins of DC, the detective comics of it all. It's a bit of a murder mystery. It's a thriller that also happens to be a Batman movie. So it was, we're really excited about it. It was tricky making it, I have to say. We made certain sacrifices. We did what we had to. We focused on the job that we wanted to do together because you guys want to see Batman? You want to see? We wanted to make it as much as you wanted to see it, and in order to do that, we had to protect one another, protect ourselves, and realize that we were together against the virus. The virus was the enemy, and the focus
important
was making the film.
Mind. Yeah. We have to take a quick break, but stick around when we come back. I will ask Jeffrey Wright about the new project, Lincoln's Dilemma.
Jon Stewart is back in the host chair at The Daily Show, which means he's also back in our ears on The Daily Show Ears Edition podcast. The Daily Show podcast has everything you need to stay on top of today's news and pop culture. You get hilarious, satirical takes on entertainment, politics, sports, and more from Jon and the team of correspondents and contributors. The podcast also has content you can't get anywhere else, like extended interviews and a roundup of the weekly headlines. Listen to The Daily Show, Ears Edition, wherever you get your podcasts.
You're narrating a new four-part docuseries called Lincoln's Dilemma.
Yes.
What is Lincoln's Dilemma?
It's a series that will be available February 18th on Apple TV Plus, and it examines Lincoln's presidency over four parts and the evolution of his presidency. The dilemma for Lincoln, I think Lincoln on all sides was between a rock and a hard place. There were dilemmas everywhere. But I'm just like anyone else. I'm not a presidential historian. I know a reasonable amount about our history, but our history is so vast. And there are things in this series that I wasn't aware of. There was an incident that I think is particularly indicative of the challenges that Lincoln faced, or it's indicative of the times in which he presided over this country. In 1850, 10 years before Lincoln was elected, the Fugitive Slave Act is passed, which basically says that, hey, Southerner, you slave owner, if you have some of the human beings that you own, if they happen to run away to freedom, you have the right not only to go retrieve them, but you can do it with the assistance of the United States government. And there's an incident in 1851 in a town called Christiana, Pennsylvania, about 20 miles north of the Mason-Dixon line. Four men escaped a farm in Maryland, and they found safe haven there in a home that was owned by a couple called the Parkers. William and Eliza Parker, who themselves were runaway slaves who were now free people. And they lived in a community there, whites and blacks together, some Quaker community, black free people, and it seems relatively harmonious, actually a long way from, the brutality that they had escaped. Well, these four men found safe haven in the home of the Parkers, and their owner, or former owner, a man named Edward Gorsuch, came up from Maryland, as it's told, early one morning. He had a warrant, he had a group of men, including one of his sons and a U.S. Marshal, and he came to retrieve these men, essentially to kidnap them. And a conversation ensued in the mist at dawn as he arrived at this house. And an exchange took place between the two groups, and he was essentially told, well, you can come get us, But if you do, you might be getting some of these bullets too. They were going to fight for their freedom. And out of these tensions, shots were fired from the side of Gorsuch and his men. They were returned. Fire was returned from the house. Gorsuch was killed. His son was wounded. Those men dispersed. The men who had escaped fled. Some of them made their way to Canada to further freedom. It was a huge trial afterward. 41 people were tried for treason against the U.S. government. For treason. The first case, the jury acquitted of this man, a white man, in 15 minutes, and the rest of the charges were dismissed. But the interesting detail for me that is indicative of how dense and complicated the issues of the day were was that there was a man named Noah Bewley, who was one of the runaways. He was described as a mulatto. He was said to have fired the first shot in return from the house. He was also reported to be Edward Gorsuch's son, a son that he had fathered by a woman that he enslaved. And a lot of tensions among families, you know, nowadays, political tensions. But you know, can you imagine Thanksgiving at the Gorsuch's? Pretty tense. Although Noah Bewley probably wasn't invited to the table. But for me, I didn't know of this story, and it was so telling about how complicated our history is. How intertwined we are. You know, we're having conversations now about race, and you have people who don't really seem to be qualified to have these conversations, but they have large microphones, but they certainly don't seem to be aware of details like that exist throughout our history. Because on that day, Edward Gorsuch was white, and his son was clearly black. So we're asking questions now in public that about race that have been answered many, many decades ago in our history. But if we go back and read that history, revisit that history, the lessons that Lincoln left us, the lessons that people like Frederick Douglass left us, who was a big influence on Lincoln, if we revisit those men's journeys, then a lot of our questions might be answered. Because, yeah, we're divided now, but it's not as bad as it was back in the mid-19th century. We have it pretty good compared to what was going on back then, and they got through it. And if we follow, perhaps if we follow their lead, we'll get through these difficult days, these challenging days that we're facing now.
Well, hopefully with fewer bullets.
Fewer bullets.
Jeffrey, thank you so much for being here.
Thanks for having me.
Up next, Alex Borstein. Now you can feel like you're in the audience at the Ed Sullivan Theater with official Late Show with Stephen Colbert merchandise at ParamountShop.com. Shop t-shirts, mugs, accessories, and more, and Late Show Podshow listeners can take 20% off with code TLS20. That's 20% off at checkout on all Late Show products with code TLS20 at ParamountShop.com.
My next guest is an Emmy Award-winning actor you know from Family Guy, Getting On, and is Susie Meyerson in The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel.
Let's go.
What?
Right now. Let's go. We're going out.
Out where?
Don't think. Don't talk. Just walk.
Okay, fine. I'll be right back.
Wrong way. Where are you going?
To grab a hat.
No, don't, because it won't be just a hat.
Yes, it will.
Do not change your wardrobe. It's fine.
Just a hat.
It's never just a hat.
Please welcome to The Late Show, Alex Borstein. Hello. Welcome.
How
you
doing?
Everything okay?
Everything's okay. I'm very short, so I have to sit forward.
No. It's so lovely to meet you.
It's lovely to be met.
I can't believe we've gone this long without having you on the show.
I know. Where have you been?
Here, except for the last 2 years.
You like this? What do you think
of this? I do like that. I love I Dream of Jeannie.
It's like I'm doing a one-woman version of Equus or something. Sorry. It's all mine. It's all
sure.
real.
Hey, I heard something that I did not expect, is that over the COVID times, you hung out, like, your place of safety was Barcelona?
Yes, my safe place was Barcelona, and my safe word is banana.
Pumpkin patch.
Really?
Yeah, just in case.
Both food.
The commercial.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, I was living in Barcelona for close to 5 years, and COVID happened, and so I battened down the hatches there.
So how tough was the lockdown there? Because Europeans took it pretty seriously, right?
They took it very seriously. We had times of day that we could walk our dog. We had times of day you could take your children out, and depending on their age, it was different times. So there were many people that would borrow other people's pets to be able to get out and walk. We saw a guy with a goat. I'm not joking.
Now, The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel is returning for the fourth season. Congratulations.
Thank you.
We have made it. So we've made it to 1960 at this point.
Yes, okay. 1960.
So you're a manager of a stand-up in the series, and you did stand-up when you were younger, I hear.
I did stand-up, yes. Uh-huh. I started, the first time I did stand-up, I was 16 years old.
Wow, what do you talk about
when
you're 16?
I didn't say it was good, but I...
What do you talk about when you're 16? What's your
Well, I you know, you write what you know. Mm-hmm. So at that time, it's teachers, parents, school. Mm-hmm. And I actually had a gig when I was 16. It was a place called Gallagher's. Not the Gallagher's, but it was in the basement of a Ramada Inn in Chatsworth, California.
Sure, yeah, Gallagher's.
And they just thought it was a kick that I wanted to do stand-up, so they paid me $20, and I filled the house with, like, a bunch of Jewish people from the valley, kind of stormed the
fortress. So they made their money back.
And, yeah, the material was all about... One bit was, in particular, about the toilet paper and the... In the bathrooms at the school, they wouldn't let us have regular rolled toilet paper. It was too good for us, apparently. So it was these tiny sheets. You know those little things looked like a tiny, and it was this big. And I basically stood on the stage and compared it to my, and you know, said if you're trying for cost saving purposes, this is doing the opposite. Because,
well. Does this tempt you at all when you being someone managing a stand-up, do you get tempted
to do stand-up
get back
again?
Up there?
Yeah. I did, and I have. While I was in Barcelona, I managed in a population of, 2 million people, there are 6,000 Jews in Barcelona, and I found 1.5 of them.
The half?
The half. One is a half.
Is that these guys?
Yes, that is these guys.
Who are these fellas?
I started doing stand-up and a musical stand-up show with these fellows. I refer to them as, this is the Rick Moranis-looking mother here. That's Eric. Mm. And this we always referred to as Esteban Colberto. Does he not look like Stephen Colbert?
When was this taken? This is the same guy. Outside of our theater. What? Pull out. Pull
out. Pull out. Pull out. Pull out. I've heard that before.
That's me. CBS.
Yes, he looks so much like you. People would often say that he looks like. His name is Salva. And the three of us do a stand-up kind of a one-person thing that we're going to be shooting this year.
Well, that's wonderful. Are you a singer as well?
I sing. Yes.
So, but you differentiate between I sing and being a singer.
You know, I feel like I haven't made a living singing. I haven't.
Yet.
Yet. Tonight's the night, folks. No.
Do you have a style? Do you like Great American Songbook? Or what do you have a style you particularly like to sing?
You know what happened? I started singing. I loved it. When I was little, I went on an audition that was like for this theater camp. And they made us go and audition to the dance teacher, the singing teacher, and they would write notes about you, and I got up to the singing part next to the piano, and they'd already written notes because we'd done scales, and I snuck a peek at the notes about me, and there was an asterisk that said, has weight problem, tone deaf.
Oh, my God.
And I was like, I am not tone deaf. But it stuck with me. It stuck with me.
You know the famous thing about Fred Astaire, his audition for MGM? Famously, the notes at Fred Astaire's when he did his screen test was, can't sing, can't act, balding, can dance a little.
Are you kidding me?
That's what the notes say on his screen test.
That's insane.
I think of you as the Fred Astaire of The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel.
Thank you. I'll take it.
Alex, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having
me. Lovely to meet you. Season 4 of The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel premieres this Friday on Prime Video. Alex Borstein, everybody.
This has been The Late Show Poncho with Stephen Colbert. If you're enjoying The Late Show Poncho, leave us a 5-star review on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. Watch The Late Show with Stephen Colbert weeknights at 11:35, 10:35 Central on CBS and Paramount Plus. And for more exclusive Late Show content, follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, and subscribe to The Late Show on YouTube. Late Show Poncho listeners can get 20% off on all Late Show with Stephen Colbert merchandise on ParamountShop.com. That's 20% off at checkout on all Late Show shirts, mugs, accessories, and more with code TLS20 at ParamountShop.com.